Hello, welcome to the Cosmic Ice Show. I'm your host, Jason Napolitano. It is Friday, and what does that mean? It's Emmett Fox Friday. And of course, each Friday, we explore Emmett Fox's Find and Use Your Inner Power here on the show. So we are here doing that yet again, and I have on the line Mr. Chris Sheridan to share the journey. How are you doing, Chris?
Doing great today, and it is another Fox Friday.
It is indeed. So this week we are working on the subject of what then, and you will understand what that means in a moment when we get into it. Chris is actually going to start this week, and then I'll follow up, and then we'll do our normal discussion afterwards and hopefully give you some insights into this work. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. We're here, of course, on Friday with this Emmett Fox Show, but also on Sunday as well. We do a longer version of the show, and if you haven't heard it yet, I encourage you to check it out. We explore metaphysical, spiritual, psychological, occult subjects, a lot of Manly Hall's work, if you're interested in his work. But there's a lot of great stuff there. So, and we've also got a wonderful catalog of stuff if you want to go back and listen to some of our earlier episodes. I think this is our 133rd or 134th episode, so there's plenty of great stuff to mine from. In the past, and a lot of different subjects, and you can check those out by keyword and so on if you go on to anchor.fm/cosmic eye. If you would like to contribute to the show, if you'd like to make a donation, please do so at anchor.fm/cosmic eye as well. And there's a button on there where you can do that. It's really quite easy. So go ahead, Chris, take it away.
All right. What then? Nothing is really worth worrying about. Nothing is worth getting angry or hurt or bitter about. Positively, nothing is worth losing your peace of mind over. These important truths follow logically upon the following fact. You are going to live forever, somewhere. This means that there is plenty of time to get things right again if they've gone wrong. No matter what unpleasant thing has happened, prayer can set it right sooner or later. No matter what your difficulty may be, it is only a question of enough prayer and that difficulty will dissolve. No matter what mistake you may have made, enough prayer will overtake it and cancel it, so why worry? If those you love seem to be acting foolishly, you can help them with prayer to be wiser. And meanwhile, if they suffer, it means that kindly nature is teaching them a lesson that they need to learn. When they have learned that lesson, they will quit and behave rightly, and so forth.
But supposing something awful should happen, well, what then? If it did, God is stronger than anything awful and can put things right again as the result of prayer. Suppose you got sick, what then? God can heal you. Suppose you lost everything and landed in the poorhouse, what then? Think what a wonderful demonstration you could make out there. And you would probably learn several valuable lessons there. And anyway, it would be quite interesting. Suppose you lost your heart's delight. What then? You cannot lose what really belongs to you. So God will bring it back more wonderful than ever. Suppose the whole universe blew up. What then? Let it blow up. And when the dust settles, God will still be in business and you will be alive somewhere. Ready to carry on through prayer and understanding. So don't worry. Don't worry. All right, so this is a good message for today, isn't it? Because there's certainly a lot of worries floating about in the world. As there
well, this usually, is great. Now you don't have to care about anything.
You don't need to care about anything at all. So, you know.
No, and you have to care deeply. But no, you worrying care deeply. There's a distinction between worrying and taking it. Positive action.
Exactly. And I, you know, he makes, you know, that's the big difference is that, you know, I don't, he's not trying to be flippant and he's not saying, you know, it doesn't matter. But what he is saying really though, is ultimately it doesn't matter. And I mean, in a sense, you know, when you think it through and you realize like the scope of the universe, the scope of time, the short span of our human lives and the whole vast undertaking of things. And, you know, you realize like it's such a tiny grain of sand on the beach, like any, you know, specific small thing that occurs in one person's life. You know, and he's trying to put it into perspective. In addition, he's also, you know, pointing out a kind of metaphysical fact, which is something that we talked about before the show. And actually, if you're interested, go back and check out our last podcast that we did on Principles of Philosophy. Talk a little bit about this in there. But the idea is he's sort of setting forth this idea that there's more to life than just this material existence. So, you know, take heart in that. Didn't you get the sense of that when he's kind of laying this out? He's saying, look, it's not just this, you know, what do we have here? You know, 70, 80 odd years, if we're lucky. He's like, no, there's an eternal life as well. And he doesn't exactly specify what that is or how that occurs. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't really know, but he's saying there's something somewhere. And he says, you're going to live forever somewhere. So, you know, that could mean a lot of different things. It could mean reincarnation. It could mean a heaven. It could mean, you know, just emerging into the Godhead, as it were. But, you know, the idea here is that there's something much vaster and much bigger than this particular human life, right?
Well, that's just it. I think that's where he's really showing this perspective, a different perspective, and to put these things against each other. Say that this terrible happens. Well, that may be true, and it may be really bad, but there's a larger picture. There's a larger life. There's a larger existence. There's a longer time. You're looking more towards the infinite and eternal, with it, eternal truths that live on forever, even if hundreds of years go by and people violate these truths and make horrible wars and worse decisions. The truth is still the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it may not be seemingly carried out properly by people,
doesn't mean
that those things aren't true. The storm comes and blows things away, and well, you know, the sun will come out again. Doesn't mean that this isn't a problem, but there's a longer view. Rebuild and look for, a day when we can all rejoice at, our safety.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's it's putting things in perspective. And, you know, this sort of we talked a bit about this before the show, but we'll share this with you guys. This reminded Chris of Jesus's words in Matthew 6:25-34. I won't read the whole thing, but I think most of us are familiar with this section. But he says, therefore, I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? And the raiment, that's clothing, by the way. Behold, the birds of the heaven, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye of much more value than they? So again, that's that same sort of perspective. There's nothing really to worry about. God is in charge, and, you know, ultimately God provides. And that's the reality of this situation. And that's a bigger metaphysical reality than, you know, than we usually sort of allow into our thinking most of the time, because we're so kind of caught up in day-to-day life, right? I mean, life, you know, it is painful. And, you know, we do have experiences in the body that are painful and emotionally and so on. And it all is very real. You know, it feels very real to us. But I think he's pointing to something even greater. And, you know, you talked a little bit about that idea of Maya or illusion that's in Hindu philosophy before we were on the show. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? I mean, that's kind of relevant, I think.
Well, it is. And it's saying that there's, you know, underneath and beyond all these everyday things that are real, as far as our everyday reality, there is a larger reality. There is a broader, a deeper, larger in scope, larger in space and time. But really what I think he's getting, I'm just going to circle back, what he's getting at, and he doesn't really say it in so many words, and he doesn't use the word, but this is the notion of providence. And it's something that's not really talked a lot about. I mean, you can talk about, you know, the ultimate reality of consciousness, and the Godhead is this giant mind of the infinite universe. There's, you know, this power, this great knowledge, You can tap into this. You know, we have this all, you know, peaceful, loving, and compassionate. And there are a lot of aspects of you know, God or of nature that, you know, ostensibly, you know, was God sent or created. Is that things are provided. That's what he's talking about in, Jesus is talking about in the Bible, or in that New Testament, is it Mark 6, right?
Matthew,
but yeah. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that, that it will be provided. And I think sometimes, you know, that can be actually a very common barrier to self-improvement, more towards success, is this, you know, feeling that the supply is limited, or that it's not enough, or I don't have enough, or if I only had this, well, then I could, you know, invest in my manufacturing and fulfill my orders. And, or, you know, there's always this, you know, this needing. And he's saying in here is that those answers will come, though something greater will come. If you didn't get, what's the old saying? I didn't get what I wanted, so I had to settle for something better.
Great point. Yeah.
I don't know, but maybe it's Oscar Wilde or somebody. But anyway, the point is that maybe what we think is this immediate disaster, and it may be, if we step back from it or just bring this in, that, oh, maybe something better will be provided. You know, almost in any situation is the seed of its own transformation. You know, these systems we seem to be locked in, you know, Caesar and, you know, under this, you know, government this and, you know, pandemic, who knows, whatever.
Sure, whatever.
Going on. You know, but even within that, and we were talking about the Matrix at one point, you know, we're talking about illusion, you know, this, you know, world of illusions, but it's still a place that has rules, and you can do well and you can do poorly according to how well you know the rules and can bend them or use them
to your
advantage. I think, you know, again, going back, I think this is the faith, I guess, really is where, you know, providence comes in, is having that, oh, ye of little faith. I think that was coming up in that passage you were reading. Leading up to that.
Exactly.
It's having the faith that nature will provide, or, you know, the answer to a question is found within. You know, the solution is usually found in the problem. This is a common, you know, thing, recurring theme. And I think this is what he's getting at, that, you know, it will be provided.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't look great on the surface right now, there's something in it. Dig deeper. And it will not only carry you through, but what he's claiming is it would, you know, even something better. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's interesting too. I was just kind of, as you were saying that, I was looking at this section where I read when he says, suppose you lost everything and landed in the poorhouse. What then? And then he says, think what a wonderful demonstration you could make out there, and you would probably learn several valuable lessons. And anyway, it would be quite interesting. It's an interesting way of looking at it, because it's like, well, yeah, you know, something tragic may happen. You may end up, you know, broke. You may end up in the hospital. You may end up in this or that, you know, terrible circumstance, quote unquote. But then he's saying, look, that might be an opportunity for a wonderful demonstration. In other words, you know, you pray and you use your affirmations and you use these spiritual tools to help turn things around. You know, your faith in the infinite allows that healing to unfold within yourself, and it allows you to, you know, get, let's say, rebuild your business, or, you know, rebuild your home, or whatever, you know, whatever is taking place. And it, you know, and in your doing of that, you know, and in the demonstration and the materialization of that thing, you're an example or an exemplar of that law that you can share with other people. And, you know, so you can be a positive example for other people who might be suffering in that situation, but don't have this knowledge or don't have this faith or don't have access to the same ideas and the same, you know, spiritual resources that you've had, for example. right? So it could be almost like a teaching example for others. So if you think about that, it's like, well, what can I do in this particular situation that can not only get myself out of it and, you know, help my family or whatever it is, but also how can I be an example to others who might be suffering from the same difficult thing? That's pretty profound when you think about that, right?
It is, and very well put. And I'm glad you drew that out of the text here, because he's really saying that, but maybe not overtly. And I'm glad you made a point to go in there, because that's, you know, we always do that. If we can live, we talked about this several times, if we're living a more harmonious life, that our soul's calling, if we know what that is, if our heart's desires, if what our purpose is, our destiny in life, we're living more along those lines and not running against the tide, so to speak, you know, we're going to be more complete, more integrated, more stable type of a person. And you can sense that in somebody. And because you can sense it, it means that person is radiating that. And yeah, that is, and then they will come to you and say, well, geez, how did you, what are you so happy about? Or why, you know, why aren't you flipping out like everybody else? You know, what do you got? You know, how do you
sure
keep it together? You know?
Yeah.
You don't have to preach it on high ground. You know, it's really being that. And that's one of the greatest things you can do with your gift is to just, you know, share it by being it, by being a living example.
Yeah, that's a great, great point. And I think one that we often forget, especially when things are difficult, because we tend to just kind of think, well, this is this terrible thing and it's awful and I'm suffering through it. And what good could possibly come out of this? Or, you know, I'm now 10 miles away from my goal. And before I was, you know, two blocks away or something, you know, you feel like you're so further away from the thing you want or whatever it is, but the thing is you don't really know that that's the case. And you also don't really know the purpose oftentimes of why things happen. And sometimes there is within these things, like Napoleon Hill would talk about, the seed of an equal or greater benefit within the misfortune. So that the thing that you think is actually a misfortune or, you know, a terrible setback might actually be setting you up for some sort of future success.
I had one of those today.
Well, there you go. Would you like to share it, or do we just want to go on that? Yeah. Or should we just
that's
take
enough.
Your
I'm done. Right? I'll be here all week. Matinee's on Saturday.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, it was after a kind of a long and long project in the laundry room with the windowsill, and had to pull the dryer out and everything. It was putting it all back together. It was all done. And the dryer hose was, you know, in pretty poor shape. So it's like, okay, we'll get a new hose and put that in there. Then it was the vent that was jacked, and that had to be torn out. So it took an extra, you know, 2 days on this project that was almost done. But in doing that, I found a much deeper problem. It was not properly installed in the first place.
Okay.
And so this setback, oh geez, you know, have to do all this and rebuild that, was actually a very proactive safety measure. And I'm really glad I had this setback.
Yeah.
Because the gift in it is there's a lot of peace of mind. I didn't know it was that bad with the lint, because that can be a problem with dryers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But so I'm glad I had this setback because it told me something very important.
Exactly. And maybe we're sharing a little piece of information, you know, for somebody out there. Always check those lint traps in your dryers, because those dryers can catch on fire. They get super hot, and you know, I've heard stories of that. It's never happened to me, thank God. But you might have just caught something just in time. It's quite possible. It seemed like a big pain in the ass to you, right, to do this extra work, but in the end, it may have saved your home from burning down. So,
and that's right. So, yeah,
right. So, I mean, and this is where we just don't know oftentimes what, you know, you think sometimes, like, I was, you know, I have this idea once in a while, like I'll think like, oh, like your car breaks down and you don't get to where you're supposed to be on time. And, you know, this happens and that happens and the whole day is thrown off. And then you think, well, what if, You know, I'm just, again, I'm just, you know, kind of speculating on these things. But what if, you know, if you got to exactly where you wanted at a specific time and some, you know, tragedy was going to occur there. And so that like some fate or angelic presence or spirit or something is actually guiding this misfortune to save you from something much, much worse. I mean, it's entirely possible that sometimes those things do occur, and people, you know, people talk about those things and, you know, intuitions or, you know, I missed my taxi and didn't get to the airport and didn't get on the plane that ended up getting hijacked or something. I mean, you hear these kinds of stories all the time. And so, you know, sometimes it's important to keep that big perspective and think, well, what might else be going on with this situation? Maybe it's saving me from something. And that, you know, that can soften the blow of some of these challenging situations we find ourselves in. So really it's a matter of attitude. It's a matter of perspective, and it's a matter of faith, knowing that there's, you know, there's reality behind this. And again, kind of getting back to that idea of the Hindu idea of Maya and illusion. You know, it's really not that it's that this isn't real. It's not that we don't experience it. It seems very real. But what it is that, you know, absolutely speaking, you know, there's two levels of reality, an absolute level of reality and a relative time-bound level of reality. The absolute is out of time. You know, it's eternal. And eternal is a little different than infinite. I mean, you can look at that idea and Google that idea. But there's something really profound in that idea that, you know, that there's this foundation behind this reality that we think is so real, quote unquote, to us. And, you know, to see that bigger picture and realize that no matter what happens to this body, and no matter what happens to our family or our fortune or, you know, our home or the country or whatever, there's a bigger reality behind that. So there's some, you know, there's some, I'd say it's a consolation, but it gives you a bigger perspective on things. Gives you a bigger perspective. And that's one of those ideas of, you know, why philosophy is so important, because that's, you know, it's finding a foundation in metaphysics. You know, again, I suggest you can check back to our last podcast if you want to know a little bit more about that subject. But these are big subjects, and these are ideas where we set up a, you know, an understanding of something in the invisible world that is more eternal, not more eternal, but eternal as opposed to temporal. And greater than anything we can understand here in this reality, that's really in and through and behind all of this. So it's something to consider when you're experiencing the shocks of life. You know what I mean? So
yeah, see the bigger picture and the broader scope, and you know, there's only so much we can know. There's only so much we can see.
Yeah.
And beyond that, there are infinite possibilities. We don't even know what's possible. That's how, you know, broad and vast it is. So, you know, to keep open with that. And I think as far as, you know, philosophy, there's the notion of being realistic or idealistic. And they can sometimes get pitted against each other that, you know, got to be real, got to be practical. And if you're an idealist, your head's just in the cloud and, you know, down here on earth, you know, we got to do things. It's not that an idealist doesn't accept, you know, real reality. It's that you also have a vision beyond that.
Yeah.
Things are as they are today, right now. I envision something bigger, something broader, something better. And by holding that vision, without ignoring what's happening in front of you, but you're talking about this balancing factor, or at least you have a trajectory, you have a direction. Mm-hmm. You have this image of something more beautiful than what you're experiencing right now as a means of getting there. You know, and that's why he talks about prayer as being, you know, the answer. And I think he's talking about this, you know, more idealistic type of prayer that, you know, what is causing me so much worry? Because this is really kind of a, you know, talking about worrying as a major theme of this piece, is that, you're praying beyond the worry, you know, and what would defer the worry? What would ease that anxiety is knowing that something is predictable, something is stable, and something is provided, well, then you don't worry about stuff you have plenty of, mm-hmm. And plenty of power, plenty of, you know, resources, you know, whatever it is. You're not so worried about those things because you have them. You have them in abundance, or you have a, you know, very high quality level of these things. You know, so I guess, as this saint asks, is I guess you pray. And it can be a very scientific prayer. It can be a vision of something better than what is now.
Yeah, I feel like he uses prayer in such a bigger way than just the idea of, well, like, oh, I'm asking for something from God. It's like visualization, affirmation, you know, creativity, idealized thought. You know, there's like so much, there's really so much to the idea of prayer. It's almost like an attitude. It's a faith. Yeah. It's a certain way of thinking. It's, wouldn't you agree? It's much larger than I think the small idea of prayer.
It isn't, but the simple idea of this is your direction of thought. Are you focused on the problem in front of you and obsessing on that? Or are you keeping an eye towards something higher, something better, and having hope and faith that that may come to be? Otherwise, if you're focusing on what is, nothing's going to change. How can it get better? You're reinforcing it. I think it's really like the direction of your thoughts. Am I stuck on here on the problem? Or am I aware of the problem and actively putting my mind towards something better, greater, grander, more holy?
Speaking of that, I'm reminded of our talk on the Golden Key. So that's particularly relevant in that area and on that subject. So check that out if you get a chance.
And that's Fox's idea of if you have a trouble in your life, a person that's troubling you, or a troubled person, or a situation at work, or your finances, or your relationship, anything, is that you turn it over to God. And he used this image of the golden key, is that you use this golden key and you put that on your problem. Well, I'm just going to golden key it. It's like putting a card down on something or shining a light on something. So it's a very powerful prayer. And again, it's the same thing. It's what it does. It gets it off the problem and puts it, okay, here's some gold. Here's some golden light I'm shining on this thing.
Exactly.
And you focus on the light, not the problem. Subtle, but huge.
Yeah, profound. No, it's a huge, huge, profound thing. So if you want more information on that, do check out the podcast. I think that's going to about do us for today. Do you have anything else you wanted to add to the end of this? I appreciate your insights.
Well, suppose the whole universe blew up. What then? Let it blow up. I just thought, you know, you've got to have a sense of humor. Really, you know, it's this, you know.
What then? Let it blow up.
Because people do that. They do, what if? What then? What if this happens? You know, well what are you going to
do? Yeah.
What if the universe blows up? You just like went to the nth degree. I don't know where you can go any further than that. You
can't go any further. But here's the answer to that. God will still be in business and you will be alive somewhere ready to carry on through prayer and understanding. So don't worry. There you go. That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? Indeed. So I think we'll wrap it up with that. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
That was, of course, What Then? From Finding You Is Your Inner Power. Join us each week on Friday for more great Emmett Fox ideas, and on Sunday as well on our regular Cosmic Eye show. So we'll be back in a couple of days with a new episode. Thanks again for joining us. We appreciate you being here. Goodbye and God bless.